Well, for the last three Sundays, we've been going over Common Ground's mission statement, which is found on the back side of our worship folders. And again, what is it? It's knowing Jesus Christ as our ultimate treasure and joy, growing together in biblical maturity as a covenant community, going unashamedly with the gospel to our neighbor and the nations. We have tackled the first two parts of our mission statement, the knowing and growing pieces, and now we will look and unpack the third and final aspect of our mission, the going unashamedly with the gospel to our neighbor and the nations. And basically, what we have been saying is no different than what Christ has called His church to be about. We are called to be Great Commandment and Great Commission Church, all right? And if I was to ask you, what is the Great Commandment? I would pray and hope that most of you would be able to respond. What is the Great Commandment? It's to what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. What is the Great Commission? Again, it's to what? Go and make disciples, basically, of all nations, baptizing and teaching them. It says everything that I have commanded you. And that's what we are to be about. And as I said last week, is rooted in the identity of God Himself. Missions is rooted in the identity of God Himself. God sent Jesus, and now Christ sends us out to do His mission. And that mission is what? There are multiple verses in the Scriptures that would tell us what His mission is. This is very crucial for the church. It's very important for the church to grasp hold of what the mission is. But let me just read some of these verses quickly to you, so we can get a grasp of how important as we try to define the mission. Luke 14 says, speaking of Jesus again, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Luke 4:43. Jesus is speaking again to His disciples. I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. Luke 10:2 says this, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." John 17:18 says, "As you sent me," as Jesus is speaking to His Father here in context, "as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." John 20:21 said, again, Jesus speaking here, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." This is just mind-boggling stuff. As God sent Christ, He is now sending us. You know this great commission verse, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, and Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey or observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Luke 24, 47 to 48 says, "And that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." How important is grasping and understanding and doing God's mission, all right? If one truly comprehends and appropriates God's sovereign mission to His church, hear me now, it changes everything. If you really grasp the mission, your pride is cut short, your boasting and self-promoting ways is lessened, your energy and excitement for our triune Lord is increased. Your motivation and purpose for life is magnified. Your love and delight in Christ is enhanced 100-fold. And the opposite of not appreciating and grasping the significance of God's mission for His church will leave you listless and apathetic and hopeless and aimless. If that should describe you, I would be extremely concerned. It should be so very obvious to all within the body of Christ that God's mission to His church is absolutely crucial. God never tells us to do something. He never tells us His mission or gives us His mission or sends us out on a mission without supplying us with all the necessary ingredients in order to accomplish the task at hand. He doesn't set us up for failure, beloved. This isn't some pie in the sky, out of reach dream. This isn't some wishful thinking or cross your fingers gamble. I hope it happens. This mission is our lifeblood. It's our purpose, our goal, and aim. And God expects us, God expects all of us that name His name to follow through. And to follow through in great joy and delight, all for the glory and worship and praise of Him alone. And so what we're going to do this morning is look at one particular section of Scripture that pertains specifically to that going unashamedly with the gospel to our neighbor and the nations. So turn with me, please. Grab a Bible. If you don't have one, I want you to look underneath the chairs there. We're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and follow along as I read. Chapter 5, starting at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with Him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Lord, I would ask again that You would open up this word to us and that we would actively participate this morning, Lord, by listening, not hearing, but listening, actively listening, that we'd be mindful of these sentences, that we'd grasp and understand, that we would work at, Lord, put some energy into thinking about what You are telling us this morning. Lord, help us not to be sitting here passively. Lord, help us to listen, to learn, to obey, to be changed and transformed through Your Spirit, through this word, to the praise of Your name. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't have a half a sheet for you, but I'm just going to call this four reasons. Four reasons for faithful gospel ministry. I'm going to give you four reasons for faithful gospel ministry this morning. And the first one is the motivation of reconciliation. The motivation of reconciliation. The central point, the key idea, the big point in this text is once again found in that tiny yet powerful two-letter word, in. And verse 17 says it. It starts this entire section off with one grand and glorious conclusion. It says, therefore, when you notice a therefore in any writing of the Scripture, especially when Paul is writing here, therefore, in other words, in conclusion, when all is said and done, the final end of all ends is this, so please listen, it's this, If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Hallelujah. Amazing words. It says, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all of this is from God. Who gets the glory? God. God. God did it. God does it. He alone works it all out. He alone makes it all possible. He alone gets and receives and is due all the credit, praise, and glory. And then Paul goes on to explain in detail, in great detail, how this incredible promise transpired. Everything that we have, everything that we have, everything that we are, everything good that comes our way, every good and gracious and glorious promise of God, every single spiritual blessing, all the riches and resources and treasures of heaven is the direct result of our intimate divine connection in Jesus Christ. We exist because we exist in Him. We love because we love in Him. We serve others because we serve in Him. Our strength is found in Him. Our joy and delight is found in Him. We live and die and live again because we live and die and live again in Christ, in Him. We are new creations. Why? Because we are found in Christ. And to be made new in Jesus Christ means brand spanking new. Means fresh, alive, really alive. In fact, outside of Christ, you're not alive. You don't understand real life. To be truly alive, we are actually different now that we're in Christ. We are different. We're changed. We're radically transformed. We cannot be what we once were. We cannot go back to how we once lived. And I say, and I hope you say, I say, glory, hallelujah, sweet Jesus. Who would want to go back there anyway, right? Ephesians 4:24 says, it said, put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Somebody prayed that prayer this morning. What Jesus is, we are. What Jesus has, we have. What Jesus does, we do. Because we have felt and known and realized and lived this new creation in Christ, we desire now, this is the motivation, we desire now for others to become new creations in Christ. Who would not want that, right? If you get this. To be found in Christ is our ultimate motivation for faithful gospel ministry. All right? To be found outside of Christ is what? It's horrific. It's hell-bent. It's just, I can't describe it. But to be in Christ, you can't describe that either. It's just everything. It's glorious. It's wonderful. It's happy feet. It's yeah, Jesus. It's the great motivation for this gospel ministry, for faithful gospel ministry. So let's look at the next reason for faithful gospel ministry. And it's, again, we'll stick with the M words here. It's found in the text too. It's the ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. This text tells us very plainly that God has given to each of us a ministry. It says here, a ministry of such significance that it will not only change your life, but it will eventually change the entire creation. Did you hear what I just said? It'll change the world. It'll change the galaxies. It'll change the universe. This truth, this amazing truth that God has given to us. It says one day He'll reconcile the entire world. He'll make it new. We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. Amen? All these chairs, all this building, all this stuff will be gone one day. It's not going to be here. So get over it. All right? You can't bring any of it with you. We're going to have new bodies. Yeah, I say yay to all you too. Amen. New minds. New, you know, it's just great. just glorious. We get so caught up in the here and now and forget about the hereafter, the future, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Amazing. Reconciliation. It's a big word, isn't it? It's a big eight-cylinder, big biblical term. But let's read it again. I want to read here. It says in verse 18, all this is from God who, through Christ again, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. All right? Notice that we do not reconcile ourselves to God. Do you hear that? God is the one who reconciles himself to us. And us to him. He is the one who is actively doing the work. We are passive in this, all right? It's so crucial that we get this. To be reconciled, we, all of us, the entire planet, we are what? Willful enemies of God. Amen? We were. We were all at odds with God. While we were still, it says, filthy, rotten, to the core sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. We are passive subjects in this reconciliation process. We are not the ones who initiate this newfound friendship in Christ. We can never make peace with God on our own. Everyone hear that? We can never make peace with God on our own. And yet every false religion, every cult on the planet thinks they can somehow make peace with God on their own. Amen? They think that and they believe that and they try and they try and they try and they seek this and they go here and they just try to do this and they chant this and they pray this and they do this and it doesn't work. Doesn't work. And some of you have tried it, haven't you? Most of us have tried that. Most of us outside of Christ, all of us outside of Christ, play that game. It is God and God alone through the work of Jesus Christ that makes us friends with God, that brings us peace with God. Again, Romans 5. 8 through 11 says, but God shows his love for us. This is amazing. In that while we were still sinners, all right? While you and I were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God. Rejoice in God. Rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We have peace. You know that? We got joy. We got that. We're friends with God. All is well. All is well with my soul. How about yours? It's good news. Again, this ministry of reconciliation obviously brings us to the third reason for gospel ministry. The message of reconciliation. And these tie together here, beloved. The message of reconciliation. The message of reconciliation is the message of the gospel. It's the good saving news of Jesus Christ. And according to this text, the message is clearly found again in verse 19 and in verse 21. Let's look again. What's part of this message of reconciliation? He says, not counting in verse 19, not counting their trespasses against them. Amazing. Not counting their trespasses against them. He's forgiven us. And he trusts to us. He entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 21 again describes this great gospel message. For our sake. Why would he do this? For our sake, he made him, Christ, this glorious, perfect, holy God, he made him to be sin. He who knew no sin. So that, result being so that in him, that little word again, in him, we might become the righteousness of God. Again, this is that, what we call this double imputation, this great exchange where we trade him our sin, we give him our sin and he gives us his righteousness. It's the worst deal ever made on the planet. Who would trade up like that? God does. It's the most precious exchange ever, is it not? Wow. And again, think. You guys, I am, we are, clothed in his righteousness. I'll say this until I just love that truth. This is one of my favorite truths. I mean, we're clothed in Jesus, in Christ, in his righteousness. God looks upon us. He sees what? He sees Jesus. Jesus, perfect Jesus. He doesn't see sinful, corrupt gear. Perfect Jesus. Peace. I got peace. All is well with my soul. It's amazing. You see, it's easy to get caught up in sin, is it not? It's easy to be found in the wrong place at the wrong time. See, when we don't pay attention to the signs, when we don't read the scriptures, we don't obey and understand where should we be, it's real easy to get caught up in sin. Yesterday, I'm down at this hospital, St. Joe's, downtown St. Paul, and a really good friend of mine is in a bad way, and I spent a couple of days down there with him, and of course, I leave downtown St. Paul, and I'm figuring out, I know what I'm doing here. I've been down here multiple times, and I'm just going to head home the way I always head home. Well, driving, and all of a sudden, I drive in the direction I want to go, and they suddenly put up a roadblock. And I go, oh, this is weird. Okay, I take a right, I go another way, and all of a sudden, there's another roadblock. And I go, what's going on here? And then I'm going down another way, and then there's a red light and a green light and this and that, and finally I turn left, and suddenly I'm on Kellogg. Okay, you know where the XL is in Kellogg by the river there, and all this, and all of a sudden there's just all sorts of massive runners and walkers, and they all got numbers on their backs and their fronts, and I'm a car driving down the road with them. I go, this isn't right. It's some winter carnival run going on. All of a sudden, there's cops flagging me down, and their sirens are going, and they're taking out after me. What do I do? So I peel over and cut off some runners. and they're going, what in the world? And the lady, the cop, winds down her window, and a female police officer, she goes, excuse me, but you're on a race right now, and you don't belong here. And I go, oh, sorry, this is where the road led me. I'm trying to get home. She goes, I'll tell you what. And then another cop pulls up, and he directs me, and then another cop. And you see all these guys, cops are going, to me, you know, get out of the way. And so they're directing me out of the way. And the bottom line is, when you don't pay attention to the signs, it's easy to get lost in sin. It's easy to be just confused, isn't it? It's easy to just be just totally lost. And yet that's the beauty of reconciliation. We're no longer lost. We're found. Amen? We're found by the grace of God. So we have this motivation of reconciliation. We have this ministry of reconciliation. We have this message of reconciliation. The last and the final point is that we are these messengers. Messengers of reconciliation. And this to me is mind-blowing. The messengers of reconciliation. The method, I don't have the method of reconciliation, but the method of reconciliation is that God has sovereignly decided to use us in this ministry and message of reconciliation. We are his messengers. It says here that we are his, right here in verse 20, we are his ambassadors. We are His agents of reconciliation. We are called by God, and again, this is staggering, to work with God in declaring this glorious message of reconciliation to all those who would hear and respond. There is no more important ministry and no greater message than this ministry and message of reconciliation. And the urgency and the seriousness and the profound magnitude of such a work is overwhelmingly clear in this passage as we hear God's inspired voice speaking forth through Paul. All right? There is this burning, pressing, warning, and urgency being emphasized here. Notice the word choice. Please notice the word choice here. Like words like appeal and urge and implore and beg and behold, all found in this text, which Paul would surely desire for his readers to sense the seriousness in this ministry call. The gospel call, beloved, is an urgent call. It's a serious call. It's a profound, life-changing summons from the great and awesome Creator God of all the cosmos. God is speaking. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making His appeal through us. We implore you. We beg you, we urge you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Man, verse 1 of 6, it says, working together with Him then, again, we appeal to you again, we urge you, we exhort you, we encourage you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And again, Paul backs up and grounds his forceful and urgent plea in Scripture. As he quotes the Bible to open wide our hearts with these explosive truths. How do you make this more urgent than the way Paul is writing? How are we to sense the seriousness, the plea, the begging, the beseeching of how serious this call is upon our lives? Verse 2. In 6:2. Everyone look at that. In 6:2. And you're going, oh, this is nothing big. It's huge. For He says. A little phrase? For He says. All right? He does not say, notice He doesn't say, for He said. He doesn't say, oh, once upon a time. He doesn't say back in the day. He doesn't say in the past, in the Old Testament, God once had said this at one time. It's not found here. You would think that. No, it says this. And its glorious thing is about the original Greek, and I love the Greek language for this effect. It says this. It's written in the present tense, in the active voice, in the factual indicative mood. Paul is saying this. Paul is saying that God right now, right here, is presently and actively and really speaking so that you had better listen up and pay very close attention to what our great and awesome God is saying right now. Do you hear this? This is staggering. And what's staggering is that God Himself has asked you and I to participate with Him in this great and grand endeavor of gospel ministry. He gave us this ministry of reconciliation. He entrusted to us this glorious saving message of reconciliation. He names us his ambassadors, his messengers. God is making, it says here, his appeal through us. Are you feeling a little overwhelmed? Can you live up to that job description? God is making his appeal through us. To all those that are still lost. To all those that need to hear this good saving news. We actually carry this gospel proclamation, and we carry it for the glory and honor of our King. Beloved, it just doesn't get any bigger or better than this. I can't think of anything more important. You cannot walk away this morning wondering, what is God's plan for my life? You can't walk away today thinking, I have no purpose or goal in life. You cannot walk away this morning and remain clueless in what you're supposed to be doing. There's no room. There's no room here for an aimless, lazy, uncaring, clueless attitude. Not if the Lord Creator God Almighty is speaking right now, presently, to you. To you. To you right now. It's an impossibility. The question is he speaking to you? You. Is he speaking to you right now? This is why Common Ground exists. This is why we're here. We're found in Christ. We have all the blessings of the heavenlies. We have everything that we could possibly ever want and need forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And it's glorious, it's joyful, it's awesome. And he's given us this message of reconciliation, this ministry of reconciliation. He's called us his messengers of reconciliation so that we would go forth and tell others so that they could be found in Christ. Amen? And they can have that same happy feet, that same joy, that same delight, that same excitement, that same energy for the glory of God, the praise of his name. What's your purpose? This is it. What's your goal? This is it. What's your aim? This is it. This is it. You don't have to wonder anymore. It's not difficult. And he is urging us. He is appealing to us. He is just pleading with us to get this. And so that others would get it. And when we go to others and you say, oh, I don't want to bug them. I don't want to, offend them. I don't want to do that. Paul's in their face. He's not watering it down. He's calling a spade here, beloved. There is sin and there's a Savior. There is hell and heaven. There is God and there's Satan. There's in Christ and out of Christ. Where are you? Where are you this morning? This is just tremendous truths. And my prayer is this coming year, 2014, is that we would make this happen. Amen? We'd do this together. Amen. This is our call to the church. We are, it's plural, messengers. Ministry together. The message is ours to give to others together. Let's go forth. Because you and I, to the glory and praise of his name, are found in Christ. Therefore, let's go for it. Amen. Let's pray. Blessed Father God, I pray, I beg, I ask, I beseech that you would just again, I love this section. I love Paul's pleading and begging and beseeching that we wouldn't hold back, that you would make this happen in our lives, that we would have a purpose. And that purpose is to go forth in this faithful gospel ministry, motivated by our love and delight in Jesus Christ. Because of all that you have done, you who knew no sin became sin. You who was clothed in perfect righteousness have now clothed us with that same righteousness. You are the one who gives us peace. You are the one who makes us your friend. We were at war with you, and so many still are, Lord. So many of our loved ones, friends, family, acquaintances are still at odds, at war, have no peace. Lord, I pray that you'd use this church for the making of disciples, for the glory of your name, through this grand and glorious ministry and message of reconciliation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.